6:31 p.m. Therefore, I call to order the regular meeting of the Harker Heights Planning and Zoning Commission for October 30th, 2019. We will start with invocation and pledges of allegiance. Commissioner Charlton, also known as our chaplain, will be given the invocation, and Commissioner Anderson will lead us in the pledge of allegiance. Please join us if you'd like.
Let's all bow our heads in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the rain that we've needed for many weeks. We appreciate your generosity. Lord, we have gathered again together to listen to citizens and take their recommendations on changes to ordinance very seriously. We also want to ensure that the standards that we set in our ordinances are met by not only contractors, but owners of the land. Lord, please bless these who have gathered here tonight. Keep them from harm and give them hope and good cheer. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Please join me in a pledge of allegiance to our great country flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I pledge allegiance
to the Texas, one state under God, one indivisible.
Thank you all very much. Okay, P&Z consists of volunteers appointed by the City Council. We coordinate with city staff, owners, developers, and agents, and residents to provide the council with independent, objective, and coordinated evaluations and recommendations of planning and zoning issues in the context of state statutes, local ordinances, and the city's land use and comprehensive plans. Except for preliminary plats, all votes are recommendations and are forwarded to the council for decision. Secretary will please note commissioners present and absent. I'm showing only Commissioner Carey absent and Commissioner McCann. I'm also showing that we have alternate Rodney Shine and Dustin Hallmark present, and we are missing Cox and Taylor. Okay, we do have a quorum here. Very good. We've got everybody here. If you all could please silence your cell phones or anything out there that would make noise, I'd appreciate that. The first order of business is going to be the approval of minutes from the regular meeting held on September 25th, 2019. And do I have a motion?
I'll move to second.
Okay. Commissioner Anderson motions. And Commissioner Parker seconds. Okay, is there any discussion? All in favor, please signify, raise your hand. And that is unanimous. That is 7-0. All right. Report of City Council action results from the October 22nd, 2019 meeting. Mr. Mullis of the city.
Thank you and good evening. As you recall from the last meeting, you had two cases before you, both involving the development known as Sapaya Plains. The first one was the preliminary plat approval for phase two of Sapaya Plains. You approved it 8-0, and the City Council did approve it 4-0. The second item was the concept plan for phase three of Sapaya Plains. Once again, you approved it 8-0, and the Council did also approve it 4-0. Does anybody have any questions?
No, sir.
Thank you.
Okay, do we have any recognition of any affidavits to recognize, sir?
We have received none.
All right. All right, report for development activity. Ms. Pate.
Thank you, Chairman. So looking into September, for the month of September, the city saw two commercial developments pooled, one for the expansion commercial finish out for the Arapitas that's currently off of CTE. They're just moving down the highway to 440 East CTE. And then our second commercial finish out is for an insurance office right off of 34. Right off of Stillhouse Lake Road at 3045 Stillhouse Lake Road. So that's bringing us to a total of 12 commercial projects that the city has seen, totaling to about $45 million in project valuation. This past month of September, because we're almost at the end of October, we've seen 12 residential, single-family residential permits pulled. Cedarbrook Ridge is still plugging along, so we've received 10 there, one residence in the Ridge, and then one residence in Evergreen Estates. And then we also received 4 permits for duplexes within the city of Harker Heights, 2 in Comanche Land, 1 on the north side of town, and 1 residence in Wildwood. And if you've driven down, I believe it was actually recently rezoned, replatted there off of Maplewood. So they're doing construction on that site as well. So that brings us to our estimated population. Based off of our residential water accounts totaling to about 10,309 persons, or I'm sorry, accounts, active accounts, and then 2.96 persons per occupied unit, we're looking at roughly 30,515 residents within the city of Harker Heights.
Very good.
Yes, well, thank you. If you have any questions, just let me know. And I will let you know, because it's kind of extended and you're not getting this information until the end of the next month, this is posted on the city's website. So come November 1, or generally within the first week of November, depending on how quick we're moving, I will post it under the Economic Development tab. So if you're on the city's website, just go down to Economic Development tab, scroll down to the bottom, and it's actually all of this information that you see there. So if you're looking to see, find the most up-to-date information prior to the meeting, it's going to be on the city's website.
Very good. Thank you very much, ma'am. Okay, next item is citizens to be heard. Are there any citizens who wish to speak? Are there any citizens that wish to speak? All right. All right, under new business is case P19-17, discuss and consider a request by Open Air Resort Harker Heights Real Estate Holdings, LLC for preliminary plat approval for the proposed open air addition on property described as 31.366 acre tract of land situated in the Vincent L. Evans Survey, abstract number 288, Bell County, Texas, and being a part or portion of that certain 51.161 acre tract of land described in a warranty deed with vendor's lien dated January 16, 2019, from George C. Moss individually and as an independent executor of the estate of Adelheid K. Moss, deceased, and as a trustee of the Katharina D. Meisner Trust Roy Reynolds Estates, LLC, a Texas limited liability company being of record in document number 2019-00002238, official public records of Bell County, Texas, generally located at 101 North Roy Reynolds Drive, Harker Heights, Bell County, Texas. Mrs. Payton.
You're welcome, Mrs. Payton. It's going to be me, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioners, we probably left that in from last time. The dastardly cut and paste. All right, so as indicated, we are here tonight on the applicant's behalf to look at approximately 30 acres of property, the formal Woodlawn Mobile Home Park owned by Mrs. Moss. As you'll recall, back in the summer, in June 2019, the City Council, following your recommendation, did approve the rezoning from this property from a mobile home park to a planned development business. And so this is the natural follow-up of that development process. We've done the zoning, now we're doing the platting. And so at the platting stage, the applicant is asking for preliminary plat approval of this site. This is the current site plan. As you can see, they went out and surveyed, did a very extensive tree survey, surveyed the existing manufactured homes. Now there's more homes in there now because a lot of the ones off of Mary Jo were moved into there temporarily, but it's my understanding they're moving those out now as the applicants have begun the development process. This is the proposed layout where they are intending to use the original street network that was built into the mobile home park. It looks like they're going to supplement it, and then they are building a permanent facility, a welcome center located here. And this is an old sketch. They are building a bathhouse, but it's actually going to be over here now. I apologize for that. I can update this slide. So there will be a couple of permanent structures in the proposed layout. Of importance is that this street network is a private street network. So it's really not actually relevant to the platting process tonight. It's just more for your information about what the development is going to look like. But it's a private network. It's not getting dedicated to the city, so it's not necessarily germane to tonight's discussion. This is the preliminary plat. You can see that they've put together the survey information and the signature blocks and so forth, and this is the actual surveyed or the result of the plat. You can see as we zoom in that they've removed the internal layout of the park because, again, those are private structures, and so what's remaining are the easements and then the existing utilities that will serve this property. So speaking of utilities, the first thing we wanted to talk about was the water utility. So as it sits right now, as you know, this park is incredibly old, and it has currently a 4-inch water line that comes from the storage tank that's over here, our brand new one, that's coming out and feeding this entire park and this manhole, I mean this manhole, this fire hydrant right there. So it's clearly not up to any to our existing codes. And so the developer is actually looking at extending a water line out from Jamie Road to feed the park. So I'm going to go back again. I'm sorry for flipping back and forth. But some of you may remember that there is a developer coming in here. We rezoned these properties to R2. They're going to put some duplexes in here. Well, they also have an undersized water line, so they were expanding the water line. And so now what's happening is that water line, which was going to end here, is actually going to come through and then come to the park. And so between that and the 4-inch line, there will now be a looped system going through there. So it is going to be an improvement in the water system in that area in general. So that's what this schematic is showing, is that the proposed water line extension going from Jamie Road and extending into the park.
And what size is that water line going to be?
It is going to be an 8-inch. And so the next issue that we've dealt with as a staff with the developer is the fire hydrant layout. There are fire hydrant requirements as far as spacing and so forth within this type of environment. Currently, there are 3 fire hydrants. There are 2 that are dedicated to the city. However, they're receiving their water from WCID number 1. I'll go back again. So this big purple line right here is not the city of Harker Heights line. This is WCID number 1's transmission line. And if I recall, this is the exact same line that cuts through Gary Diller's property way over at Nola Ruth and Old Nolanville Road. So same line going all the way through the city. But they do have a meter here, and then they do feed these 2 fire hydrants. So if we use them, then you know the meter's going to bill us for what we use to put out a fire. So those are the existing ones. In order to meet the current requirements, the applicant is also placing 2 additional fire hydrants on the property. They'll both be dedicated to the city, I'm sorry. So all that will remain is the original private here. It is still going to be a private hydrant, but the combination of the private hydrant with the 4 dedicated hydrants will give complete fire coverage to this this facility.
Is the existing private hydrant up to standards?
Right now it's being fed by a 4-inch water line, so no. But once it gets looped in with the others, it will provide, I believe, the same volume. I may get the applicant's engineer to get up here and explain that a little bit better. But yes, it'll meet the code, essentially. Now on the waste... Oh, sorry. Yes, sir.
On the private one, is the city, even though it's private, does the city still test the flow rate and the pressure like it's supposed to be, like annually or something?
Yes, the fire marshal can correct me, but I believe that we test all fire hydrants in the city, private and public. But it's my understanding if we find an issue with the private one, then we will tell the private, the owner, and they have to repair it or make any changes. Whereas the city one, we'll fix it if there's a problem. But that is correct, right?
That is correct.
Okay. On the wastewater side, you can see that the property is served by a wastewater line that comes from Jamie Road, just like the proposed water line. It does loop down to the south. And so the manufactured home park had some laterals that connected to that, but they have an internal private network. And so the applicant is proposing the same, that they maintain an internal private water and sewer network, but they will connect at a couple of points to the city's existing sewer line, and then at that point it meets the requirements of TCEQ and the city code as far as wastewater is concerned. So the site does meet the requirements in terms of its water supply and then its sewer collection system. Good. Finally, you know, not necessarily the big elephant in the room, but a big elephant in the room is that a part of this is in the FEMA floodplain. You know, we dealt with that when we looked at the zoning. And so the applicant has, of course, done a preliminary drainage study where they're showing you This drawing is basically showing you that all this is flowing into the creek from the park. And so their proposed post-development drainage shows the same thing. They're draining into the floodplain, but they are also going to create a detention facility there to help with any type of increased runoff due to the impervious cover that they will be adding. So that being said, they have met most of the requirements within the Code of Ordinances as far as platting is concerned. And I say most of them because we ran into a little bit of a snag with the survey. So when this property was sold, they did a survey that was adequate enough to parcel out the land and sell it to the applicant. However, that survey wasn't done to a plat standard that went through and identified the exact locations of the existing easements and so forth. A lot of that had to do with the fact that a lot of these easements are so old, it's difficult to track down the documents, and it's certainly difficult to go back and find the original pins or markers to lock those down. However, the applicant is in a rather quick timetable to try to start beginning this project, so we felt that we reached a point where we could still bring it to you and recommend approval with conditions, kind of like we did last time. So what staff is recommending is approval with conditions, the primary condition being that the survey is finalized by the city council meeting, which will be in a couple of weeks. So by that time, they'll have the survey, we'll update the plat documents, the city council will see the official locations of the easements and so forth at that point. And then the second condition being that by you forwarding it to the city council, you're accepting their decision as far as the conditions being met. So in other words, if they meet the conditions, they don't have to come back to you, and then you say, yeah, you met the conditions, now go to talk to council. We'll let them go straight to the council and make that final decision. This is the same thing we did last time when we wanted to add that 1 foot non-access easement along Warriors Path. Staff feels that that's a fairly easy condition that we think that we feel that you would be confident that the city council would be able to review that and note that that condition was met. And so that's why we're making that recommendation tonight. The applicant and their engineer are both here. I'm sure they'd be happy to answer any questions that you have, and I, of course, will answer anything that I can as well.
Guys and lady, any questions for Justin?
What are the yellow marks?
Okay. That yellow are the easements. And so I just highlighted them because they're kind of hard to read. So those are all the various easements going throughout that property that the applicant's having to go survey and find their exact locations. You don't typically see that kind of a mess there. They're usually a little bit cleaner, and so that's part of the reason why it's being delayed just a little bit. Of note is this big giant one here. This is a 50-foot federal easement that covers that WCID number one line, and that's the one that gave us problems back when we looked at Dillard's development as far as, I don't know if you remember, but they went out and potholed that line, found its exact location, went out and surveyed its exact location, and the line wasn't in the easement. So we're moving forward with that understanding that it's, between the preliminary and the final plat, that easement may shift a little bit, or it may actually have to be redesignated as part of that final plat if there's no agreement. But that's exactly what we did in that previous case where we just redefined the easement based on the new plat. I just wanted to point that out that that's in there, but that's part of what's making this a little bit more difficult.
Mr. Webster?
I see that they're, I guess, repaving the roads. Does that mean they're going to widen as well?
It's my understanding as part of the planned development that they're going to maintain fire lane width roads. So they're not going to widen them to, the 36-foot wide. They're going to maintain the minimal fire lane width.
Okay. I just wanted to...
And they will be fire lanes. So they're going to be striped and indicated as fire lanes with no parking on them.
Okay. So trying to get RVs in there, I don't know. Is there going to be like a final plat that we'll see that actually will show all the sites for the
home? No, for two reasons. One is that in our code of ordinances, the final plats are approved administratively. Okay. So if staff does it, it doesn't go back to PNC or council. But two, because those aren't dedicated roads, you wouldn't see them anyway. So, whenever we bring a plat to you, you don't necessarily see the final configuration of the buildings or so forth.
Right.
Now, normally we ask for a concept plan so you do know what's going on. You're not just blindly approving a plat and then something weird goes in there. And in this case, we didn't require a concept plan because they did a plan development where they showed the layout. And then, of course, the applicant's engineer kind of went above and beyond and showed the layout anyway. To be perfectly honest, the plat almost had a little bit too much information. We had to ask them to scale it back. They showed all the trees and so forth, which was really great, but you know, it was not necessary for a plat.
Yeah, I was just wondering how many RV sites are we talking about?
I believe they told us that it was between 130 and 150. I don't know the exact number, but they'll be able to tell you that. But that's what we're looking at internally.
And would they be able to tell us that they're one-way streets?
Yes, their schematic that they showed us before showed one-way streets for improving traffic flow. And again, that's the kind of thing that you wouldn't necessarily see, but that we would see internally as far as issuing a building permit.
Okay.
So when we get to the building permit stage, that's what's going to happen is we're going to look at the plat, make sure all of our easements are recognized and obeyed. We're going to look at the conditions of the PDB that was passed earlier this summer. And then, of course, we'll look at all of the building fire safety codes and make sure they meet all of that. So we'll go through all of that process as part of the building permit phase. But again, I just felt like it was important that you guys see that so you know what they're doing inside of there.
Those big old 4,500
so right, and you know, and it may be that they designate where those spots are and based on traffic flow and access, ease of access and so forth. And again, that's something that we would iron out at the building permit phase.
Commissioners, any other questions from Mr. Mullis? Thank you, sir.
All right, thank you.
Okay, who's here to represent this request? Sir, if you come up here and state your name and your address, please.
Hi, my name is Joel Canfield. My address is 705 Vanguard Street, Lakeway, Texas, 78734. And I'm from Open Air Resorts.
Okay. So, tell us what's going on. Yeah.
Since I was last year and this past summer, we've gone through the planning process. We've been trying to fast track our engineering as quick as possible to kind of get to the finish line. We have a closing date in 2 weeks and 2 days that we're kind of pushing toward. So far, so good. It's been going well. We've started with maybe some of the questions you had about the layouts. We had an initial gross layout of about 150 sites, and with the goal of tree preservation and having a massage in between some of the existing really great things about this site, we've kind of scaled down about 139. So we lost a little yield there, but it was worth it to obviously preserve the character of the site. That 139 is probably going to move well, a space or two by the time we finally get it done. So we're within, you know, 135 to 145, somewhere in that space, I would think we'll end up in the end. What can I tell you since last happened? We've had a couple different initial market studies done for our lender, which have come back additionally positive, each study that we've had come out. Some of the existing parks here in town, which are a little bit different than we do, their occupancies have significantly gone up over the last 6 months, which is extremely encouraging, more than we thought, so that helps a lot. We're financing the project through Keystone Bank out of Austin. Some of our investors are investors in that bank as well, so we've got some nice ties to that lender. What else can I say? We talked before about some of the amenities. Can I speak to maybe some of the characteristics of the park? Would that
sure.
be something? So the value proposition of Open Air Resorts, to step back for a second, is it's an RV resort, but our take on this space is there's a ton of new people coming into the outdoor lifestyle world. The last 5 to 7 years, there's two big trailer manufacturers, Thor and Winnebago, and they've had double-digit sales increases year after year. And a lot of that sales increase are the kind of millennial generation because their size coming into that marketplace. So you've got tons of new folks in the space. You've got the onset of all the big rental companies, RV Share and Outdoorsy and all the smaller companies underneath it, that are renting our unused RVs, kind of like Airbnb. So it's bringing all these new people into the space that aren't necessarily full-time RVers. And all these people come into an environment where it's extremely disjointed. There's the market hasn't been segmented like a lot of places like in hospitality, where you have like a Courtyard Marriott in Phoenix is the same as the one in Austin. That doesn't exist in the RV resort space. So our take on it is we started a brand versus just going park by park. And our brand composition comes down to delivering a really good value, being very accessible, easy to find, easy to book, and kind of act like a hotel acts as far as the experience goes, and deliver that to a population that's coming into a space that doesn't historically have them. Do a very good job at that, I guess is a better way to say it. So with that in mind, we have one park open in West Austin that's been doing really well. It's been tracking ahead of projections. We're about 40% full. We've only been open 3.5 months so far, so that's really going well. And we have a series of parks behind this that we're lining up behind Harker Heights. A couple things we love about Harker Heights is this site is very specific and very special for a lot of reasons. It's essentially an unreproducible asset in our minds, in that you can't just go find a field somewhere and plant these 40-year-old trees and create that environment anywhere else besides that. It's in an opportunity zone, and so we see the vision of this little area that's inside the donut hole inside this part of Harker Heights is about to kind of explode and start to develop through, so we want to be on the front end of that, driving that new wave of activity. And then with the location of all the things around Harker Heights, whether it be Fort Hood, all the outdoor recreational things with the area lakes, and the onset of a lot of people coming through this area, we think that's a great kind of apex of a lot of things happening in one place that we're very excited about. City's been fantastic to work with. We've got some great local engineers that do a lot of work up here that are extremely helpful, helping us dovetail the old parks infrastructure and what we had to work with into upgrading into what we need to be today. So,
well, when you close there in 2 weeks, 2 days,
yes, sir.
What is your plan? When will those mobile homes that are in there be out?
Yep.
Like what kind of time frame are we looking at on that? And when do you think you'll actually be having a grand opening?
Grand opening. So we're starting to move those trailers off now. We've had a few of them out so far. We'll try that. We'll accelerate that in earnest once we close and start funding that activity more aggressively. We've been told that we can get out about 10 or so. Was it 10? I'm not saying that right. 30, about one a day, about 30 of those a month, which may be a little aggressive. We're going to see if that plays out that way. But we've got between 80 and 90 trailers out there still today. So we're going to have to move through that in succession in an organized way to where we first start with moving the trailers out of the way. Then we come in and we do the cleanup and we start to park up the trees and kind of clean up the area so we can get in and make further decisions on some of those engineering items. So we're going to have to look at it kind of like an assembly line. So I would anticipate it being a few months of that activity before we're able to come in and actually do real utility work in earnest. We initially forecasted trying to break ground this fall quickly and open up in the spring. That's probably going to be really break ground truly in earnest in like the early spring and open up in the fall. We open up, and there's a couple reasons for that too, not just the process, but our last park we opened up in the middle of June, which was great to get the kinks worked out. But the big wave of a lot of people coming down to Texas in that environment ends up being in the fall. So that's a kind of a better time to kind of blast open and then have good momentum as you get started. So right now we're targeting a fall opening and a aggressive construction schedule probably like early spring at this point.
But mobile homes would probably be out in there the next 3.5 months, like
as quick as we can get them out. And I only say that with hesitation in that we've been given some bids from contractors on how quickly they can move them out. And it looks great on paper, but I think we're going to maybe add a little contingency to that time period. So a few months, I mean, I would think in 90 days, that'd be a pretty realistic time period to get most of those out of there.
All right, commissioners, any other questions? Yeah. Yes, sir.
Do they already have concrete pads and you'll be using those, or do you need to have concrete pads for these RVs?
Well, you can approach it a couple different ways. Right now, there's not much existing there at all that's resalvageable, to be honest. So we are redoing all the roads with asphalt, and we're doing a combination of two things. We're doing a section of the... And what might be helpful is when we get that final layout done, when we massage all the sites and the trees, I'd love to show that to you just because that'll answer a lot of questions, I think. But we're doing a combination of the first section of the sites. We have two parking spaces per RV site, and that's part of what Joseph was saying about these being fire lanes and parking on the streets won't be permitted. So we've got additional parking off-site, off-street. And then the remaining section behind it is probably going to be either a chip seal or a crushed granite. And what's interesting about that is in these bays where those larger mobile homes used to be, they're fairly wide. But using that efficient layout that we've got there, there's a lot of space in between them. So we've got really deep sites for a lot of these spaces, and it allows you to have your parking at the front and have a really clean street scene and move your unit back into kind of the woods a little bit more. So it creates a nice shaded area, a little different feel, and it doesn't feel like you've got RVs just stacked at the street. You know, so the optics are real different for that layout. But because of those lengths, we're going to use part of the back portion of it be a stone crushed material and the front part being an asphalt paved section for the two spaces.
Will any of them be passed through, like these old guys like me that get back up?
We do. We've got two different sections of pass-throughs utilizing the existing islands that are there, so to speak. Off the top of my head, I think we've got, is it 26? 27 pull-throughs, and the rest of them are back-ins of various depths.
And will you have a propane refill?
Yes, sir. At the street we do, actually. We've got a propane refilling station. Yep. Which would be a nice area amenity for other folks that aren't our meters.
Yes.
Thank you. All right, commissioners, any other questions? Okay, sir, please have a seat. Thank you very much. Okay. Does anyone in the audience wish to address this matter? Is there anyone in the audience who would like to address this matter? Okay. All right, commissioners, it is back to us at this time. We've already looked at this property before. Anything is an improvement on this property as far as I'm concerned. But I think these guys have got a pretty good idea, and if you look at any of the places around here right now, they're all filled up. All the ones that have opened up recently, 2410, if they're not filled up, they're getting filled up pretty quickly. People want to be in RVs. Yeah, it's cool. Yeah, I think that property there with those trees would be fantastic. I mean, going from mobile homes to that, far better than if we had individual duplexes in there or houses in there. I think this is a really good thing going here. So it's back to y'all, commissioners. I need a motion at this time.
I move that we approve. Justin, can you help me out on those conditions? Okay, with the condition of survey is finalized by the city council, correct? That's the first one. And the second, city council shall determine if applicant has satisfied condition one, which results in full approval of the community.
Okay. All right, do I have a second?
Second.
All right, Commissioner Webster. All right, any discussion? All in favor, please signify by raising your hands. That is unanimous there, 7-0. Thank you very much, sir. Okay, the next item are reports from P&Z commissioners, alternates. Are there any commissioners or alternate members who wish to speak at this time? Oh, yeah, I saw that. Okay, there are none. Are there any staff comments for the P&Z right now?
Not at this time, other than we've got the BSC right up next.
Well, I'm ready to roll on that. Hearing nothing further, we adjourn the regular meeting of the P&Z at 7.03 p.m. All right, now we go to Building Standards Commission.
Well, we need to wait just a minute because I've got to change out CDs. So if you'll give me just a second, we will switch.
We'll take a 5-minute break there, guys. Girls, ladies, men, citizens. So, Rodney, how's the email? Yeah? The left one or the right one? Yeah, mine too. Yeah.
You're welcome. Have a good evening. Be safe, Corey.
Which is weird. Yeah, that's the best thing. Everybody, I talked to you since the last year. I talked to your partner.